Welcome into the Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on the Game Nashville app. What's going on? Chase McCabe with Marquise Munson today. Marquise back at the Wholesaling Studios powered by RumbleOn.com. I'm at the home studio, even though it was nice to be in the building yesterday to see Marquise and Ian and Dagwood from The Buzz, a few other people wandering around, but back at the home base today. Marquise, what's up?
What's up, man? Yeah, you stay over there, man. This is my territory now. this is my studios now. Me and Ian has shaped up the place a little bit. We're going to put some posters, put our family portraits in here. This is our home studio now.
Yeah, you're like, we're taking over.
We are taking over. I'm putting a picture of like me in graduation, like above the studio. Ian's going to put his family portraits everywhere. That's what we're going to do.
I like it. That's what you should do, because you guys have been holding it down and we appreciate it. So what's going on with the NBA and the Brooklyn Nets, Marquise? Because yesterday some news came out, and again, we knew some of this was going to happen, but how much is too much? DeAndre Jordan has tested positive for the coronavirus and opted out of next month's Orlando, Florida restart with the Nets. He tweeted out, found out last night and confirmed again today that I've tested positive for COVID while being back in market. As a result of this, I will not be in Orlando for the resumption of the season. And Wilson Chandler, he's opted out the season of the season restart. You've had others that have tested positive. So what's up with the Nets?
Yeah, so you also had Spencer Dinwiddie, who he also had the virus. He's recovering now, but he has not opted out to, you know, restart the season. He's still kind of on the bubble of whether or not he's going to join the bubble. No pun intended. But so it's funny, because when I went into, you know, the playoff format and I was looking at the different teams from, you know, the Wizards having that 9 seed, and I was like, there's no way that the Wizards are even going to contend for an 8-9 seed. There's no way they're going to contend for that seed, and there's no way they're going to make the playoffs. Now, with just looking at the, I'm not even going to call them injuries, because it's quite frankly, it's just the coronavirus and whether or not you can play or not. If these losses, especially Spencer Dinwiddie, who, like I'm going to say this, DeAndre Jordan's good, and losing him is going to be big for them, but they also got Jared Allen, who Jared Allen has probably been better than DeAndre Jordan this year. He plays center as well. So they still got a backup plan just in case DeAndre Jordan didn't play, and Jared Allen's going to get more minutes, he's going to get more playing time, and he's going to prove why he should have been the starting, you know, center to begin with. DeAndre Jordan's just the name, but Jared Allen has done a lot of the production as well. But when you look at Spencer Dinwiddie, when Kyrie Irving went down after 20 games, Spencer Dinwiddie has pretty much taken over this team. He's the second leading scorer on this team. He's averaging 6 assists a game. So he's pretty much just been the leader of this team since Kyrie Irving has been hurt. So if you lose him, you're pretty much losing half of your offense. You're losing your key guy. You're going to have to, you know, have to rely on other people and sign other people to be able to, you know, match his production. And I don't think you can do that with such late notice. So losing him would be big. I think losing DeAndre Jordan, Wilson Chandler, like, you know, no offense, I like Wilson Chandler, but he's only averaged like 6 points a game. So you're losing somebody, you're losing an extra body, but you're not losing much from Wilson Chandler. But losing Dinwiddie, that's going to be huge for them if in case he does not go to the bubble. So Wizards, they got a shot. And they're still alive. There's a lifeline in that terrible team in Washington. They could pull off a Nationals like comeback, and then all of a sudden be in the NBA Finals. I don't know, but they got a good chance now.
All kidding aside, though, because depending on what player for what team either gets it or just opts out altogether, I mean that could happen. You could have a team winning a series by default.
Because players are testing positive for corona, and then they got to sit out. And, you know, imagine this happening like during the season, or it's just it's going to be tough for the Nets, But they also have, they have other talents on their team. They got LeVert is really good. He had a 51-point game earlier this year. You know, Joe Harris has been good this year as well. You know, Taurean Prince, he's been good. So they still got players on their team that, that can add to the production that they're missing from the players that they're going to be losing due to the coronavirus. But once again, are you going to have to go pick up scraps? Are you going to have to pick up a guy like Amon Shumpert who, you know, hasn't really played well? You know, are you going to have to sign him? Are you going to have to sign? Yeah, pretty much Shumpert is a defensive version of J.R. Smith. That's pretty much.
J.R. Smith is not available.
And he's not available because, yeah, he's joining another team that I'm very excited for.
I'm sure you are.
I am very excited to shirtless J.R. Smith in the bubble because he does not own a t-shirt.
He's joining his boy LeBron. LeBron said they were hooping, so he goes, all right, I'm going to go hoop with LeBron.
I'm a little nervous about J.R. Smith being in the bubble. I think if there's one player like that I could determine gets voted out of the bubble, it's probably going to be J.R. Smith. It's going to be like Big Brother. And that anonymous phone is going to be called a lot on J.R. Smith. But look, I can see, and I tweeted this earlier this morning, I can see a situation to where in these eight games, I can see the Orlando Magic, who hasn't really suffered a lot with, you know, due to the virus. They're fully healthy and they're ready to go. I can see them climbing up a seed, so they would probably climb up to the 7 seed. I can see the Nets dropping down to an 8 seed. And then depending on, you know, the Wizards are obviously going to have to win a lot of games. But when I look at a couple of their games that are last, you know, they got the Bucks, which I don't think Giannis is going to play at that point. Well, Giannis may play 6 games, maybe less. And then they also got the Celtics to end the 8-game season. So they may bench Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and a lot of Marcus Smart and a lot of their guys as well. So they may have an opportunity to get 2 easy wins just based off of that. So I look at a situation where we're probably going to see a play-in tournament in both the West and the Eastern Conference, which going into the bubble, I didn't see that happening. All I did was saw a play-in tournament in the West, and that's a for sure thing. It's going to happen in the West. I don't know if it's going to happen in the East to begin this thing, but now I think it is.
Yeah. So first, let's hear from Woj on what happens, because this is a question that we need to attempt to answer. What happens if a team gets completely wiped out by either players testing positive or players backing out? Here's Woj on that concern.
Well, it's the one question the NBA has not answered that they haven't, it seems, wanted to box themselves in.
Okay.
Is how many players on one team would it take for them to either end a series, to say to a team is essentially done? There are mechanisms for them to continue to bring in substitution players, but those players coming in would have to quarantine. But that's the fear. That's the ultimate fear in this great experiment, that if there was an outbreak on a team in the middle of the playoffs, how would you be able to continue?
Adrian Wojnarowski. Woj. I tried.
Just call him Woj. We don't call him Wojnarowski. We just call him Woj.
Woj on SportsCenter with SVP last night. So it's true, because they haven't really answered that question. And if you think about it, like baseball, you have the taxi squad that you can draw from the taxi squad and essentially fill your roster. At least that's the hope. That you could have the free agent squad here in Nashville that you're able to pull players from. But what happens if this continues with Brooklyn, for instance, and they can't field a team? So like you say, that's all right. Now you're going to send 21 teams. Is that what you're going to do?
Well,
because I know that they're supposed to submit rosters by Wednesday. But here's another part of this. Who's to say that those rosters can actually hold up until they actually report?
Yeah, that's true. And I think I know you're trying to put deadlines and trying to figure out who you're putting in the bubble and who's coming and who's going. I understand that completely, but you can't premature like set a roster up, you know, a month ahead of the bubble actually starting. So I think this is what they're probably going to do. You know, every NBA team has a G League affiliate. So I think, you know, with the Nets, they have the Long Island Nets. So I think a lot of the situations is going to be where they pull from their G League roster. And that may be the best bet they can possibly do. They'll probably have to figure out whether or not they have to quarantine for 2 weeks before joining the bubble. So then you may not even have that player available at that time. You know, you may be able to just get a, you know, give them a test right then and there. You know, after a player goes down, give that G League player a test. Maybe it comes back in 2 days, and then all of a sudden you can transfer him, that person, to the bubble. So I think they can possibly do that. Every team's got a G League affiliate, and I think they can possibly utilize it the same way MLB is utilizing their system. So I think if you do that, you have a better shot of getting players in and out. But it's just a matter of, you know, once you're in the bubble, I think all those players will be good. I think the only thing you have to worry about is the workers, the, you know, people who are going out of the bubble and coming back in the bubble. I think those are the people you got to worry about. If everybody tests negative for coronavirus, I think if they all follow the proper protocols, I think everybody should be good, and we shouldn't have this situation happen during the season. But just in case, just use the G League players and kind of utilize that system.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they're going to have to do. But it's going to be very interesting to see. And this is something that Floyd and I talked about last week, and I know we've had this discussion of how much is too much. That if you have an entire team that ends up testing positive, does that give the NBA or any league that it may happen in the reason to go, you know what, maybe this isn't the right move.
Yeah,
maybe we have to pump the brakes.
See, I think it's easier in the West. Because let's say, for example, you have a team like the Spurs. Let's say the same thing that's happening to the Nets right now, it happens to the Spurs. You already have 13 teams in the West. Maybe you just take out the Spurs as a complete team. Say, hey, look, you guys have 5 players that test positive. Like, maybe you guys just need to cancel the season. Maybe they do that in the East, but it's a little difficult. Maybe you inform the Hornets and the Bulls, who are the next teams below the Wizards. Maybe you inform them, like, hey, look, if the Nets can't go, we might have to push you guys up, and then kind of inform them. Maybe they do it that way. All of this is just speculation. You know, they're having these meetings, the same conversations that me and you are having now on the radio. They're probably having in these meetings of, you know, what ifs, and, you know, what if this happens, and what if this happens. But it seems like every time we ask a question, there's just more questions to be asked to that. So, you know, maybe they do the G League route that I said. Maybe they just tell a team, like, hey, look, we're gonna cut it down. You know, the Nets, you guys can't come, so we'll move up the Hornets, or we'll move up the Bulls, who are only 2-3 games behind the Wizards. So it would make sense. I mean, they're still technically in that same hunt as the Wizards are, so maybe they do that. So, you know, it's a lot, but look, I just want basketball. I don't care how I get it. You know, I don't care if it's G League players. I don't care who it is. Like, I don't care.
You just want to watch your basketball.
I
understand.
If LeBron say we hooping, I want to watch some hooping. Like, so that's it. That's all.
I want to get that on a shirt for you. It's so bad.
I do. I just want
Patrick Beverly.
I want
if LeBron
Patrick Beverly
hooping, then we hooping.
Yes, that is a perfect. That is the greatest tweet of 2020. I think so far.
But
if LeBron say we hooping, we hooping.
In all of this, I believe a wise man once said, just when you think you have all the answers, I change the questions. The late, great Roddy Piper.
Exactly. And the question is being changed every day because, you know, last week when we talked about this, we're all excited. Oh, the bubble. Friday, I was excited watching the schedule get released, and we're all excited. Yeah, July 30, if it's going to start, it's going to happen. Not taking into account that players tested that week for the virus, and then now all these players are starting to come out and announce that they have it. So, you know, the excitement's still there, but it's like, okay, well, we have to do it this way now. And it's like everybody has had to make adjustments. We here at the station have had to make adjustments. There's businesses who's had to make adjustments. And the NBA and every other sport is going to have to do the same if they have a player test positive. So I think, you know, finding various alternatives will help the NBA kind of get through this season, because let's just keep our fingers crossed and hope that it doesn't get postponed again, and we got to wait to another 2-3 months before we have NBA basketball. So let's just find some alternatives, and let's get this season underway, man, because I'm ready. July 30th. Let's go.
I don't know what's up there at the station, but it got dark here all of a sudden, so storms are moving through. But when we come back, We will talk baseball as some players are opting out, continuing this conversation. It's The Rundown. You can interact with us on the text line, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The Rundown, Chase and Marquise, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, I know this. I know this, Marquise. I can hear it, but I mean, I can kind of see it.
I will give you a hint. This person actually had two theme songs. This one was like short-lived.
Steve Blackman.
Yeah, there you go.
There it is.
See?
Boom.
See, I should have.
I could hear it in my, because I actually like this one better than the one he used for most of his
time. Yeah, the other one he used was I do like it because I think I watched, there's like a wrestling video called Botchamania, and they had like a Simpsons version of the Steve Blackman theme song with Homer Simpson like doing ninja stuff.
Oh yeah.
It was the most hilarious thing I've ever watched on YouTube. So like I like that one just because of that, but other than that, this theme song's way better.
Tell us your favorite wrestling theme. 615-737-1025. You can text
the American Dream.
Your favorite wrestling themes. I bet you somebody responds to that because people love wrestling. You can stream 102.5 The Game from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app, enable our Alexa skill or Google Home, and ask to play 102.5 The Game or live stream from our website, thegamenashville.com. That's right. It is The Rundown. Chase McCabe, Marquise Munson, Ryan Porth on his honeymoon with his wife Amanda this week. So Major League Baseball, Marquise, we have players that are opting out. Who we know so far: Mike Leake, Ryan Zimmerman, John Ross, and now Ian Desmond has added his name to the list of players that are opting out for their safety or safety of loved ones' concerns over coronavirus. And I believe that that list is going to continue to grow. I'm not surprised by this at all. I don't think anybody is surprised by this in whatever sport. So what do you make of this, of these players opting out so far?
I knew it was going to happen. Like, I think in every sport, I think we figured that they're going to be a couple of guys. Now, it depends because, like, you know, obviously for various reasons, you know, some people just don't want to catch the virus. Some people, like in DeAndre Jordan's situation, DeAndre Jordan's situation, he basically has asthma. So, like, he doesn't really want to, you know, go there and risk his health further by catching the virus. Same thing for Avery Bradley. Like, he has a kid with respiratory issues, so he doesn't want to, you know, go in the bubble, come back with the virus, and then his son has respiratory issues, you know? So there's reasons behind a lot of these guys backing out. But some reasons are just because guys just feel like the risk is not worth what we're getting paid. And you know, so I can understand.
Yeah, but Ian Desmond's leaving $5.5 million on the table. That's what he was due for his prorated share of his $15 million salary.
But did he give a personal reason of why? Or is he just saying, like, look, it's just not safe, man. Like, I just don't agree
He had a long post that he put up last night on Instagram. I mean, a long post. But he goes, he has a pregnant wife, 4 young children who have lots of questions about what's going on in the world. Home is where I need to be right now. And I am not going to fault the guy for that.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, he's made a good amount of money. So, you know, I know this is crazy for a lot of us, especially right now, for him to leave $5.5 million on the table. You know, it doesn't, he's got a lot of money saved up, but I don't fault him. I mean, that line right there, with a pregnant wife. Okay, gotcha, done. Don't need to talk about it anymore. You're totally cool.
It's understandable, but do you think there's going to be people in the locker room that see that, that hear that, but they're like, come on, man, like we're your team. Like,
usually I might say yes to that, but in these times, in this situation, no, I don't. I don't think people are going to say that. Now, if you have like a 22-year-old that's single and just says, nah, I'm good, and you look at their contract and it, you know, they're still on like a rookie deal, okay, I could see somebody raising an eyebrow or two. But honestly, in this situation, I just feel like most players are gonna go, hey man, I understand. You gotta take care of you and your family.
No, absolutely. And let's not, as fans, like, because I've noticed a lot of times, like, there hasn't really been big names. Like, Ryan Zimmerman's a a name that I know.
I'd say he's probably the biggest.
But he's probably one of the biggest. Like Avery Bradley, like, and I'm going to speak from NBA perspective, just based off of some of the guys in the NBA that has said they're opting out. Like Avery Bradley, to me, is good because he plays on the Lakers. And, you know, DeAndre Jordan is good. He's known for dunks, you know, but they're not like the LeBron Jameses of, or the Bryce Harpers, or, you know, the Mike Trouts, who are saying like, yeah, I'm not gonna play, or the Giannis's. Like, imagine some of those guys speaking out and say they're not gonna play, because a lot of their leagues, you know, hold true to their word of what they say. And so if LeBron says like we not hooping, then I guess we not hooping. If Mike Trout says we ain't playing baseball, you know, maybe we need to start reevaluating. But like, it's just all.
Trout say we ain't hitting, we ain't hitting.
Yeah, if Trout says we ain't hitting home runs, we ain't hitting home runs. Then so I think like by looking at a lot of these guys, and I'm not, you know, trashing them because they're lesser players and they're just deciding not to play, but you know, I just wonder how fans would feel if it's a bigger name than Ryan Zimmerman or Avery Bradley that says, hey, I'm not going to play. Like, how would they look at that player? How would they look at a star player of their team saying, like, hey, I'm not going to play?
Well, I brought this up, you know, in any sport. If you're going to have some players that are going to just say, hey, I don't feel comfortable, but at what level do they have to be for it to really make noise and make a difference? So Mike Trout is the perfect example. And I would say Mike Trout, Aaron Judge, you know, guys like that are maybe the upper Mookie Betts. Let's just say if Mookie Betts tells the Dodgers, hey, you know, I got a baby at home. I just don't feel right doing this. Then that obviously makes some noise. Now, if it's only a couple, yeah, they're going to probably keep playing. They're not going to just stop the season. But if you have more and more and more and more, then that could delay things. And it's obviously going to be different for baseball after going through what they just went through with the negotiation to try and get a plan in place. But I still would understand with some players just not feeling safe, whether it's for them because of an underlying medical condition or for their families. And a lot of these guys have young children. So I totally get it. Jeff Passan of ESPN went on SportsCenter with SVP, like everybody does, last night and talked about players opting out.
That's a realistic concern, but I think that the biggest concern, Scott, is when bigger names start opting out. And at this point, you know, there have been rumors, this player, his wife is pregnant, maybe he's going to want to opt out. That player, he's been around, he's got his service time, he's got his money. Why would he want to come and play? I think when it's all said and done, though, there isn't going to be a huge stream of players who do end up opting out. You may have a guy or two per team maximum, and I think it's going to come down to the individual decisions. But in the end, you have to answer to your teammates.
Yeah, and that's something that you were bringing up, and that's Jeff Passan on SportsCenter last night. And I, like I said, I believe if I come to you and I say, hey, Marquise, I'm opting out. I'm not going to be able to come back. I have a family member that has an underlying medical condition and I'm around them a lot. So I got to do what's best for them and my family. And I'm going to opt out. And you know that I'm a veteran player and I've made a good amount of money. If you look at me and go, dude, I mean, you're a big part of our team. You're going to hurt us by not being here. I think that's a conversation that could happen behind the scenes, and you and I would have to sit down and I'd have to explain my side and hear your side and all of that. But I think at the end of the day, you have to look at it as it's health and it's all of that before baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. And even just in day-to-day life, because I had a situation where like I didn't want to go anywhere and I didn't want to do anything until Nashville got to a certain phase and a certain point. And, you know, some people respected it, some people didn't. And that's fine. But that's my decision. It's my health. Like, I got to take care of my health. I got to take care of the health around the people around me. So I'm not being selfish by saying that, oh, I'm not going to play or I'm not going to do this because I'm worried about catching the virus. I'm also worried about the people around me. You know, I'm going to go see my grandmother this weekend. So I've been pretty much isolated from either the studio or my house for the last, you know, 2 weeks because I want to make sure that I'm safe enough to be around my grandparents, right, and my mother, you know. So it's just look, you know, we just have to have an understanding. And as fans, because I know fans can get in these habits because there's a lot of fans who don't think this whole thing is serious and don't take this whole thing serious. Hopefully they just don't lash out at the players for, especially in Major League Baseball, with all that happened surrounding it, with all the arguments between the MLBPA and Rob Manfred, with all that going on and players starting to opt out. Hopefully fans don't hold resentment towards those players because they're opting out, because they're going to be like, well, you did all this fighting in the offseason and we could have been started the season already, but and now you're deciding to opt out. Like, you know, hopefully people just understand that, you know, it's sometimes for a lot of other people, it's deeper than baseball, it's deeper than basketball, it's deeper than football, it's deeper than hockey. Sometimes, like, family health matters, and so hopefully, you know, people just, you know, play, like, be cool. Like, you know, yeah, if there's bigger names, we'll start talking about it a little bit more. But as you know, I think as players, you know, we've seen with the NHL, we've seen with MLB, and we've seen with you know, NBA, of players testing positive, but it hasn't even gone over 20. Like, yeah. I haven't seen a league outside of college football. I have not seen a league like MLB, NHL, and NBA get over 20 tests in, you know, viruses by testing all their players. So maybe we get the same amount of players that just say, I'm opting out. That's 30 players, possibly. So, you know, it's let's just let these players make their own decisions, because it's their, at the end of the day, it's their health, man. So,
yep.
And it's their family's health. So let's take that in consideration.
Just saw this as we go to the break. Carl Reiner, of if you watch the Ocean's movies, Ocean's 11, 12, 13, obviously a lot of other things, passed away at the age of 98. Cool, good actor, and just kind of sad news out of Hollywood. Just saw that on Twitter, so wanted to pass that along. When we come back, we'll talk some NFL, Marquise. There's going to be an extra playoff team this year, as we know. So the seven teams that make the playoffs out of the AFC, now that Cam has signed with the Patriots, are they one of them? We will give our rankings and discuss that when we come back. You can weigh in, 615-737-1025. It's The Rundown, ESPN 1025 The Game. RockNashville.com is your community resource page. Check it out for information around town, including Nashville's Good to Go initiative, CDC updates, ways to donate to Second Harvest Food Bank of Middle Tennessee to support their mission of feeding hungry people, as well as other ways to help the Middle Tennessee community. That's RockNashville.com. So one thing that we got into yesterday with the signing of Cam Newton with the New England Patriots, great timing by them. And I, by the way, I listened to Jared and the GM, Jared Stillman, back, and he said that it's all a ploy to cover up the fine that came out, the punishment that came out yesterday, that he doesn't think that Cam Newton plays at all for the Patriots. And I think he is wrong. I think he is 100% wrong. Cam Newton is going to be the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots come week one. The tape on that.
I think he just wanted to get a hot. He missed like a week of hot takes. So
I guess
he just needed to get one big hot take out there after missing a whole entire week.
If Jared is willing, I'm going to die on this vine, and knowing him, he will die on that vine. And I think that there should be some sort of wager or something between shows on who's right on this. But I say week one, Cam Newton is playing. As the start, he is the starter for the New England Patriots. Jared says no. So I laughed at that. I texted him like, you are so wrong on this. You are 100% wrong. So I don't know. But with him joining the Patriots, what does that mean for the division? What does that mean for the playoffs when it comes to the AFC? So you and I decided we're going to do our AFC rankings and debate these. Remember, seven teams get in. So the number one overall seed will be the only team that gets a bye. Based on the new playoff format. So we have seven teams out of the AFC that makes it. Where do we have the Patriots in this group? How do we have them ranked? I'll let you start.
Yeah, so, and it's funny because there's so many teams. I had to, like, rank them from 1 to 16, which the Jags are last, if in case you were wondering. Yeah. The Jags are last. But I picked division winners first, obviously, so I went with the Chiefs, and I have the Chiefs as a one seed. Have the Ravens as a two seed. I think the Ravens will win the division, but I don't think they have the same season they did last year.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Like not as dominant. They're going to be good. They're going to win the division. Ugh. They're going to win the division, but I just don't think they're going to have the same season like they had last year. So, but they will be a two seed for sure. I have the Pats edging the Bills if Cam Newton starts. No, I think the Bills will be in that realm, and you'll see when my rankings continue, but I think the Pats will eventually win that division. So you
have the Pats as number three?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So KC, Baltimore, New England.
Yeah.
All right.
And I have the Titans at four.
Okay.
I have the Titans at four. I have the Titans winning the division finally and getting over that up.
Let's stop there. Let's stop with your division, because you and I, we agree on three out of the four division winners in different orders.
Okay.
And then, okay, so I actually have Baltimore as the one seed. I think Baltimore, and I don't necessarily put this on their quarterback, but I put this on their coach, that I think Harbaugh has heard all the chirping that has happened in the offseason. He heard his quarterback say, well, we underestimated the Titans, or what have you. He's going to have that team ready to play. I don't love the North. Pittsburgh, okay, if Ben is healthy, then they could change things. I actually do think Cleveland is going to be better, which I'll get to in a second, but not better enough to knock off Baltimore and win that division. So I think Baltimore takes that division. I think Kansas City takes a tiny, tiny, tiny step back, and what I mean by that is maybe one less or one more loss than Baltimore. So Baltimore ends up taking the one seed.
So you have the opposite. I got you.
So I
think both of them will have drop-offs, but I just don't think Lamar Jackson is going to be the Lamar Jackson we saw last year. Now, he's going
to
be
good.
I don't think he necessarily has to be. Yeah, I think he's still going to be good. He's going to be really good. Still probably in the conversation of MVP, but just not as much as he did last year. But he may not have to. You're right.
Yeah, so I have Baltimore 1, KC 2. And then I actually have the Tennessee Titans with the 3 seed winning the AFC South. And some of that is based on just default and records. I still can't tell you exactly what their record's going to be, how many wins it's going to take to win that division. But I have the Titans coming in at number 3, winning the AFC South. The Bills, as much as I have said, I don't really believe in the Bills, and I don't. I'm still optimistic. I almost think by default they win that division. And so I have the Bills as the 4 seed, winning the AFC East over New England. So those are my 4 division winners: Baltimore, KC, Titans, Bills, now at the wild card.
All right, so then I have the Bills. I think the Bills will make the playoffs, and that's why I said they'll be neck and neck with the Pats, I think, for the division leader, but I think the Pats will eventually take it. So I got the Bills at 5. This one was difficult. 6 and 7 was really
very difficult.
Very difficult, because I was stuck on, I'm gonna count, I was stuck on 5 teams for these two spots. 5 various teams. And I came up with, and this might bite me, the Texans. I think the Texans, look, I think only, and it's only because of Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson is just good. He's just really good. He just does not like missing the play.
To spite their coach.
And that's what I mean. Like, he's just really good. And I was stuck on the fence because I wanted to put them out of the playoffs, because maybe they'll realize that Bill O'Brien is probably not the answer at GM, and then maybe remove him from that slot and keep him from making these boneheaded decisions, like, you know, trading DeAndre Hopkins. But I think because of Deshaun Watson, maybe a healthy J.J. Watt, maybe. That's a big maybe, because he's never 100%
right.
healthy.
You can't say
that. You can't really say he's 100% healthy. But I think they can get over to the 6th seed. Now with my 7th seed, this one was also difficult, because I'm going to go with the Steelers.
Okay.
Now the Steelers, look, under Mike Tomlin, they have not had a bad losing record.
Nope.
So I think with Big Ben being back, hopefully at 100% healthy, but that's like the same thing with J.J. Watt, that you got to kind of, maybe if he's 100% healthy, you know, I think they can get at least a 7th seed. I think they can finish You know, especially with them adding another team, even if they finish at 8-8 or 9-7, I think they can sneak in. Because that's the same thing I have the Texans. Like, I have, like, the Bills at maybe, like, 10-6, and then I have the Texans and the Steelers at, like, a 9-7, 8-8 sneaking in. And then everybody else down below.
The one thing I worry about with this new format, especially this year, in the AFC, and again, it's June 30th. There are a lot of questions that still need to be answered, but that what if that seventh team is 7-9? You know, what if they have a losing record? I could see that happening just because you got to get a seven, and that's nobody wants to see that. And I know a 7-9 team has won a playoff game before and all of that, but I just right now because I had a hard time trying to come up with the wild card teams too. Because it's just like, I mean, who, like, what team is going to just separate themselves and shock us all?
Yeah, so, but I also thought about the Browns too, because I'm like, dude, if the Browns can't make it when they add an extra team to the playoffs, it's right. Just no hope for this Browns team. Right. So I also thought about them too. I have them actually down to like 10 on my list.
So I have, these are my wild card teams. So I had the Bills in as the fourth seed winning that division. The Pats come in as the first wild card. The Pats get in with Cam Newton under center. So they win that wild card spot. Then I have the Colts. I know that there are still a lot of question marks with Phillip Rivers and with the Colts, but I have the Colts being just good enough to get in as the sixth team. And then the seventh team in out of the AFC, we've mentioned them several times because you just said it. If the Browns can't get in under this format, then there's just no hope for them. So I have the Brownies sneaking in with the seventh seed and to make the playoffs. So that means that they would draw Kansas City week one, Indy and the Titans, I guess, is how it would shake out in the first round of the playoffs. So an AFC South matchup and then Pats and Bills. So some division matchups with two of those. If everything shakes out.
So basically we got the same division, just different teams for 6 and 7.
Right.
Where did you have the Broncos? Did you consider the Broncos?
I didn't. I looked at them, but I think they're maybe a year or two away from, I think that division has potential to challenge Kansas City. Like, I think Las Vegas is going to get better. I think that Denver is going to get better. And I even think the Chargers are going to get better once, you know, and even though I will say I don't love their quarterback, I don't love the quarterback pick. So maybe I'll take that one back. But I do think that the division has a chance to get better and challenge Kansas City. I just don't think they're there yet.
Okay, I'm going to ask you this because, like I said, I did all 16. Which rookie quarterback do you see being the highest seeded?
Ooh. Which rookie quarterback do I see being the highest seeded?
So basically either the Chargers, the Dolphins, or the Bengals.
Probably if he plays, the Dolphins.
Okay. I have the Chargers.
Well, I think that I like the offseason the Dolphins have had. I think that they've taken all of that equity that they had from trading everybody, and now they've replenish the cupboard. Now, how soon can some of that be ready to go? That, you know, you got to see. But I like their offseason. They made some free agent signings too. So I believe if Tua is healthy, now I don't have them making the playoffs. I don't really know if they're going to contend for the playoffs. But in the spirit of your question of what team would be the highest seed of those rookie quarterbacks, I think the Bengals are a long way off. I think the Chargers are. I'd probably go Dolphins, Chargers, Bengals.
Yeah, I had it reversed. I had Chargers, Dolphins, and Bengals. Yeah. And that's no knock. I think out of all three of the quarterbacks, I think Joe Burrow would probably be the best one out of the three. But I think just the Chargers are just built more all around than just Justin Herbert. So I'm just
Do you think Herbert's going to start?
I think he will. I don't think you draft a guy sixth and don't start him for the entire season.
Well, and I think that's what gets a lot of teams in trouble, though. You know, they don't let guys develop anymore.
But then again, like, it all depends on, because even with the Bills, when Tyrod Taylor was at the Bills, he would have, like, four or five games where he's really good, and then all of a sudden they just forget about him. So yeah. I think it's going to be a similar situation where he play. Now, Tyrod will start the season. I do believe that. I think he will start the season, but I don't think he finishes the season. I think Justin Herbert will eventually step in. Same thing we saw with Dwayne Haskins last year of like sometimes you just want to see what the rookie's got. So I think he will play, maybe half of the season, maybe six games.
The theme of all of this, we have the Titans winning the division for the first time in a long time, and that is a good thing.
Well, I think it's long overdue.
Yeah.
I think if this team can't win it, man, I don't know how you're going to – I don't see the Colts winning it. Like, I like Phillip Rivers, and I know that's a – I'm not going to say it's a big upgrade from Jacoby Brissett, but it's kind of a slight upgrade depending on his turnover ratio this season and what it's going to be. But with the Texans losing Hopkins and, with the Colts getting a new quarterback, I think it's right there. It's right there for the pickings for the Titans. So I think they can win the division.
I know one thing. Week three – in the NFL, Monday Night Football, I cannot wait for that. Kansas City hosting Baltimore. Or, I'm sorry, Baltimore hosting Kansas City. That will be a that.
See,
will
I wish it was. If it was fans, that game would be packed and loud. And, man, that game would be awesome. But that's the matchup that we would have gotten in the playoffs if the Titans just didn't have this, magnificent run that we all enjoyed in Nashville. So we spoiled it. We spoiled the Mahomes versus Jackson matchup.
You like that?
You like that?
When we come back, something that I know Marquise likes, there is a new cover boy for 2K. We're going to discuss that when we return ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is The Rundown. Chase McCabe at the home studio. Marquise Munson at the Wholesale Inc. studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Darren Donick and Chase. No Darren coming up in just a few minutes here on a Tuesday. So, Marquise, I know you're excited about this, and we both like these games, the 2K video games, whether it's WWE or NBA, but NBA 2K, I know there's going to be a new cover boy, and you think this is a well-deserved honor.
Yeah, it is. It's a well-deserved honor, but it's shocking to me because the NBA 2K is probably the biggest sports game. I think it surpassed Madden, to be honest with you. That's just my opinion. Gameplay, fan interest.
I love the My League mode. That's one of the coolest sports coolest modes on a video game,
see,
I think I've ever played.
But with that, with my league, my player, online plays better, I just think 2K is better than Madden. So I think 2K is the biggest sports game that we have. And so the cover boy has to be somebody major, have to be somebody big. And this year for 2K21, the cover boy is going to be Damian Lillard, which to me, like from NBA perspective, from a guy who loves watching basketball like me, I love Damian Lillard. I think he's amazing. I think he's one of the most underrated point guards in the league. I think he's a top five point guard in the league. A lot of people won't agree with me on that. I think he's top five for sure. But I was shocked to see that he was on the cover of it because usually it's somebody like Anthony Davis or Giannis last year. Or LeBron James, or, even Zion. Sometimes it's more marketable guys. And it just goes to show that everybody, a lot of players, even the quote-unquote lesser superstars, and I'm only calling him a lesser superstar because the outside people who don't watch the NBA don't know who Damian Lillard is. Probably don't even know who he plays for. But, he's a lesser star, but yet he's on the cover of the biggest game in sports. And to me, that's cool because it's like, hey, that just means the NBA knows how to market their stars because, basically you have to put like a Mike Trout or a Harper or a Mookie Betts on a cover of a video game in order for you to recognize who the hell is actually on that video game. Because sometimes there's been some years that MLB The Show has come up with some covers. And I was like, man, who is this dude, man? Whose man's is this on the cover of this video game? I don't know who this guy is. And it just shows you because, NFL does it too with Madden. They put Patrick Mahomes on the cover. This year will be Lamar Jackson. Like, they put their stars on there, and, it's just they know how to market stars. And that was my biggest takeaway from Damian Lillard being on the cover is the NBA knows how to market their stars. Even though Damian Lillard, in some cases, would be a lesser star than a lot of these other guys, he's on the cover of the biggest video game in sports. I'm proud of him. I love Damian Lillard. And he's a California guy, so got to root for him.
Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking because of what you just said about marketing their stars of, okay, off the top of your head, can you name some of the biggest stars in the NBA? Obviously, LeBron would be number one. Anthony Davis, Zion Williamson, James Harden. Would you put Westbrook in there? I mean, do you say
I would? Nah, between bigger star, yeah. Westbrook's a bigger star than David.
Kevin Durant.
You know, Steph
Kyrie,
Curry.
Steph Curry.
Like, there's a lot of guys in this league that I would expect to make it on this list before Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
But that's kudos, because Damian Lillard doesn't even market himself. The only commercial I ever see Damian Lillard in was the Hulu commercial, the Hulu Have Live Sports. I think he was one of the first people to start doing those. So that's like the only thing. Like, he's a rapper too, Dame Dala. You know, he had a diss record against Shaq. That was pretty awesome. We played it on the morning show before. Yeah, yeah. It was pretty cool. But, you know, he's not, to me, marketable when it comes to the outsider's perspective. Like, if I were to go to someone who watches the NBA in and out, who only watches like the Lakers or the big name teams or the big name players. If I go to that person and say, hey man, what do you think about Damian Lillard? They probably won't even give me an answer. They'll just be like, yeah, I guess he's a cool center. Like, I don't know, is he a center? You know, he's a point guard. But I just, from an outsider's perspective, it's like, hey man, you know, I don't know who Damian Lillard is, but kudos to them for, you know, putting him on the cover of the game.
Yeah, no, I think that's very cool and a cool honor.
Yeah, like, Major League Baseball needs to take notes.
They do.
On
they
other
do,
sports.
Because, like, honestly, okay, who would you say is the biggest star in baseball right now? Is it Trout?
To me, it's Mike Trout.
Okay.
That's just me. But I'm also from, you know, I live in California, so.
I would say Mookie's probably now in the conversation. At least he should be. And I'm not just saying that because he's from here and, you know, there are ties, but especially he's going from the Red Sox to the Dodgers. So two historic franchises, and he's one of the best players in the game. He's already won an MVP. So I would say Mookie Betts, but that's the thing. You can't definitively say, oh, well, it's this person or this person. I mean, and that's where baseball needs to do a better job. Needs to take – I mean – the Braves, and again, this is not fanboy coming out, but more people should know about Ronald Acuna Jr. than just Braves fans or the diehard baseball fans. Ronald Acuna Jr. has personality. He's a good player. I mean, he has all the intangibles of somebody you could market. I mean, he's got a little, I don't know what the word is, but I mean, he's got a little attitude, and people like that. I think he's somebody, I know he doesn't really speak English, but you could still market him. And they don't do that. Baseball just, it's almost like they don't know how.
Yeah, and they don't. And I'm looking at the cover of these games, like, Eric Chavez was on the cover of MLB, like, 05. Like, I know who Sean Green is because he played for the Dodgers. Andrew Jones, like, I've heard, yep. I know the name of Andrew Jones. He was on the cover of Chipper Jones. I know who Chipper Jones is. You know, Mo Vaughn was in 2000. Like, I didn't know who that was. Like, you know, Andrew McCutchen, I know who that is. Miguel Cabrera, I know who that is. Yasiel Puig, obviously, for Dodger reasons. Josh Danielson, like, I didn't know who that was at all. Like,
Donaldson.
Yeah, Donaldson. Yeah, like, I don't, like, Aaron Judge and Bryce Harper, like, I know who they are. But, like, they just, like, I don't know. Like, you know, in the NBA, like, you can go to each team and, like, name their star. I could not do that with baseball. I would probably, like, get to maybe 10 at the most with baseball. Yeah. I can do that with, like, anybody. Like, people can do that with the NBA a lot of times. Like, and I know from an outsider, you know, outsiders probably can't do that, but I can name a star on each team in NFL, hockey, maybe hockey, half of hockey, and maybe in basketball, but not MLB. And that's sad.
Real quick, as we wrap this up, did you and Adam Vingan play 2K last night? Where are we at on the series?
Oh, we didn't. We're still 2-1.
Okay, so still 2-1.
Yeah, still 2-1. I had to watch the Monday Night Raw last night. So
okay, I am going to propose that as a part of one of our game nights, we have to broadcast one of these.
Game 7, if it makes it there.
Okay,
because I'm down 2-1.
Okay,
so I'm gonna try to end it in in 6.
That's gonna do it for today's edition of the Rundown. But stick around, Darren Donick and Chase. That's next. ESPN 102.5 The Game.